You today. My name is Marichelle. I'm part of the team here if you don't know me. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of things. I don't know if you've seen it on church news, but I just want to highlight a couple of things that's coming up in church life so that you're aware of it. So today, you know what today is?
Sunday,
and it's prayer and fasting. Woohoo! That's going to be some joy about that. I'm feasting on the inside. The good news about that is that when you pray and fast, you know, breakthroughs happen. And I encourage you to try it. You know, you don't have to, you know, have the whole full fast if you need to. But, you know, that's just up to you in between God. But we have some information on the types of fast that we, that you can do. And they're available at the welcome desk if you'd like to avail yourself of that and some prayer journals and everything. We also got some kids one as well, Pastor Darrell, don't we? We have some kids prayer journals. So if you want to do that with your kids, that would be an awesome thing to do. Now, with the prayer and fasting, we do it intentionally so that on Australia Day, the 26th, we're going to feast as a church. So we're going to have an Australia, All Things Australia. And outside after the service, we're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have a jumping castle. And I think some adults can actually go in there. So I don't know whether I should do that. I know I can go in there. So that will be happening straight after the service next week. A couple of things too also. YA crew, young adults, 18 to 35. If you're 18 to 35 or you know people that are 18 to 35, we have our young adults director, Brad. Sorry, where are you? Stand up.
Come on, Brad.
Next week. Next Saturday, they are meeting at the Talabudgera Creek, 10 a.m. And there's some information at the YA Crew page and some invitations there coming up. So if you want to know more, please see Brad, and that will be a great thing. The last thing I want to sort of announce to you is our food co-op. Who has been to our food co-op? If you haven't, you need to shop there. Can I just say that is meat there? And, like, you can buy two and you get one for free. So, you know, but I know, but you can do this for next week, all right? So you can shop for this week and then cook it for next week. Shut me down, Pastor Tony, seriously. So food co-op, I'm just announcing it to you. So if you want to do that, that will be a great thing. We're also opening up another hours and option in March. And so the survey for that is at our food co-op page as well. So why don't you all stand up before Pastor Tony comes and share the word and give him a hand. Let's go.
Why don't you take your seats? Thank you very much. Well, Pastor Marichal forgot to announce the one thing she came to stage to announce. Everyone say one job.
One job.
Got carried away when she started mentioning feasting and fasting and food co-op. By the way, if you've not shopped out there, some people think that shop's just for the poor. It's for all. Say all.
All.
It's for all. And we'd love for you to shop there. Every cent you spend there, as opposed to Coles and Woolies or Aldi or wherever else you might shop, really helps us as a church community. And so go and check it out. There's meat, there's bread, there's all kinds of things in there. Of course, you can't eat it this week, but you can stock it up, which would be a good deal. Down the back of the hall, right in front of the sound desk, you'll notice a desk with Connect Groups and a Connect Group banner up there. And we're putting a call out for people to sign up for Connect Groups for 2020. It's an opportunity for you to go and have a conversation there with one of our people about Connect Groups, the small groups that meet during the week. A Connect Group is simply a group of people, about 6 to 12, that meet in somebody's home, a cafe, or something like that, on a fortnightly basis. They're highly relational, and it's a discipleship process. And so we kind of have some conversations around what we talk about on a Sunday in the Connect Group and some other topics that we do from time to time. But it's about people connecting with people, getting to know people, so that you build a sense of community in church life where you don't meet theatre style like we do today. Today, you're staring at the back of someone's head, or you're looking at me. When you get into a Connect group, you get to sit in a circle around a table, drink coffee, eat some snacks, and enjoy company and some good conversation and build connection with people. Love for you to sign up. And so if you go down the back, have a conversation with whoever's down there today and sign up for which group you might be wanting to be involved in. They'll help direct you in terms of where they meet and all kinds of things like that. So if you do that straight after the service, that would be awesome. I'd also like to let our church family know that just recently, Lynn Hicku, who has been fellowshipping with us for a number of years now, lovely lady, and she recently returned to New Zealand to be with her family whilst she was in palliative care in terms of the cancer that she was fighting. Recently, Lynn passed away and was promoted to heaven. And so we just wanted to let you know that as a church family, it was not unexpected. On the family side, it's a celebration of her promotion into the presence of Jesus. Heaven is our home. It is our home. And although these moments are sad, for her it's a promotion into the arms of Jesus. Well, we're going to continue a conversation we started a few weeks ago. Being that it was the start of the year, we wanted to start with something that was light because people are in holiday zone and holiday mode and wanting to enjoy themselves. And so we've been talking about a topic and having a conversation around an issue or a topic that is not necessarily associated or not often associated with going to church and being a Christian, a believer, a God follower, and that word is fun. And so we titled this conversation, Make It Fun. Turn to your neighbor and say, make it fun. Come on, make it fun. That's what we're wanting to do for 2020, is to get better at the whole fun factor in the way we do our faith journey with God as a church, individually, and also with each other. So it's a series about adding joy to the journey. How many people in the room could do with a little bit of joy up in terms of the way you do your journey? Come on, lift up the hand of your neighbor if you need to. If you think your neighbor needs to have a little bit more joy, why don't you lift their hand up? Because I think we could all do with a little bit more. A little bit more of joy in our world. You know, in the Old Testament of the Bible, I don't know how often you read the Old Testament. The Old Testament of the Bible has two testaments to it. There's two segments. The Old Testament is primarily to do with the children of Israel and the story of God's journey with them, and it's got the law in it and all that kind of deal, and the history of how that was all established. And then the New Testament, you've got the coming of Jesus and the birthing of the church. And in the Old Testament, just because it's old doesn't mean it's obsolete. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's obsolete. That's good news for anyone over 50 in the room today. Just because you're old, you're not obsolete. You've still got some things to say. And you young'uns had better listen to the message that the old has. And so the Old Testament's got a lot of good message to us today, even as a church. In the Old Testament, it lists a number of celebrations and festivities, festivals, that the children of Israel were commanded. They weren't invited. How many of you know there's a big difference between a command and an invite? Big difference. And they weren't invited to attend these festivities. They were actually commanded. It was a command of God to come together and celebrate as a nation. Everyone would come together. And there were seven different feasts that they were to come together and celebrate. And I want to tell you, they weren't morbid feasts. The people of the East know how to feast. The people in the East know how to celebrate. I love the way the Israelites and the Jewish people, I love the way Greek people celebrate. I love the way that Italian people celebrate. They celebrate and they feast and they dance and they enjoy amazing food and entertainment. It's a beautiful part and fabric of their culture. And so it was for the children of Israel. They weren't miserable gatherings. They weren't meant ever to be miserable. They were actually meant to be like a praise party, and all the people would gather. It didn't matter how busy you were. It didn't matter what mood you were in. It wasn't one of those occasions where you could just say, look, I'm going to sit this one out because I'm just not feeling it. I think I'll go to Talabudra Creek for the day. It wasn't that kind of circumstance at all. If it was on, you were there celebrating with all of the Israelites. So the priest didn't send out an RSVP and ask, well, if you feel like it, would you pop on in and have a bit of a celebrate? No, it was a command to come together and celebrate the faithfulness, the goodness of God. There would be food, there would be singing, there would be dancing, there would be family, there would be friends, there would be strangers there. And it all centered around celebrating the goodness of God, the awesomeness of God, the favor of God, and the blessing of God. Well, in the book of Nehemiah, which is a book we've been looking at for a couple of weeks now, there's a segment of scripture in there where Nehemiah latches onto this concept of the celebrative spirit that the children of Israel were intended to have. He latched onto it in a time in the history of Israel when it was very, very difficult. Jerusalem had been flattened. The buildings had been primarily destroyed. The walls of the city had been destroyed. The economy was failing rapidly. Nehemiah returns to his hometown, his home city of Jerusalem, with permission from his king to do a rebuild. And so he puts all the people together. They all have set tasks, jobs and duties to do. They start rebuilding the walls. They start rebuilding their houses. They start rebuilding the economy. There's a lot of good things happening, but after a while, momentum stops and the morale of the team and the people really starts to get affected. And so Nehemiah, he speaks into that environment. I want you to notice what he says. In Nehemiah 8:5, it says that Ezra, who was the priest, and so let's pretend I'm Ezra today, and let's pretend you're the people. So I'm Ezra. It says, Ezra stood on the platform in view of all the people, and when they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. Thanks, Brad. That's what you do. Everyone stand to your feet, please. Everybody stand to your feet. Remember I said, pretend you're the people. So when they saw Ezra the priest open the book, they all rose to their feet. Now, stay with me. I know Brad's with me because he stood first. Everyone else stay with me. Let's just do what the verses say. It says, then Ezra the priest, he praised the Lord, the great God. Praise the Lord. And all the people chanted, amen and amen, as they lifted up their hands and then they bowed down and they worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You can take your seats. I want to tell you today, at the start of 2020 for our season as a church, and I need to explain this because we're a church that has people that come from all kinds of backgrounds of religion and church experiences, and there's all kinds of different expectations in our audience today. I want to tell you that I think Nehemiah chapter 8, these verses, is the kind of church that we are here at Impact Church. We're a church where people stand to their feet. We're a church where people clap their hands. We're a church where people praise the Lord and they bring some worship. We're a people that are interactive in the way we do worship. This is not a quiet church. It's not a quiet church. I don't apologize for that. It's not a quiet church. We're a praising church. We're a worshiping church. We're not a perfect church. We're a people church who pursue the presence of God. We prioritize that. So we're an interactive church. We're a church that's engaged. We're a church that's expressive. We are a joyful church. We are a festive church. Turn to your neighbor and say, festive. Not festy, festive. We are a festive church. So I'm not sure where you've come from. I'm not sure how your priest did it, or your padre, or your minister, or your father, or your, what else do they call these people? Reverend. I'm not sure how they did it for you and what your background is, but I want you to understand the church you're in today. And the church you're in today is this kind of church. We celebrate, we engage, we interact, we praise, we're joyful, and we're expressive. The next verses say that it says, they read from the book of the law of God, and they clearly explained the meaning of what was being read. It's always good to have someone clearly explain what the Bible means. I try and do that. I try and break down the Bible so that everyone can understand it, anyone can understand it. I preach it. If I use a picture for this, how many of you remember the days when you first started swimming and you went to a swimming pool and all those that could swim really well went to the deep end and swam? And then everyone else went to the shallow end where you could just... There's a lot of people in church that are in the shallow end and they don't understand the deep things. So I'm helping the people in the shallow end move to the middle. That's what I'm trying to do. So I'm not preaching for, if you're in the deep end, good on you. You're enjoying it. You're doing your thing down there and having a wonderful time. I'm preaching for the people in the shallow end of the pool to get to the middle of the pool so they can get to know God a little bit better and enjoy their journey a whole lot more. Always good to have someone try and explain the meaning of what the Word of God says, helping the people understand each passage. And then it says, and then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Weeping was the wrong response. It wasn't the response Nehemiah was looking for. Weeping was not going to add strength. Weeping was going to drain them of their energy. Weeping was going to stop the momentum. And so Nehemiah speaks into the weeping spirit, the grieving spirit, the loss spirit on them, and he says this, go and celebrate with a feast. Why am I preaching this while we're fasting for a week? Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. It's all right to eat nice, rich food, and it's all right to have some sweet drinks, and he says, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared, because this is a sacred day before the Lord our God. And then he tells us why. The why is always important. He says, don't be dejected and don't be sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The people in this passage, they were solemn, and Nehemiah didn't want them solemn. He wanted them to understand sacred, and sacred does not mean quiet. Sacred means a celebration holy unto the Lord. A celebration holy unto the Lord. They were disquieted. They were weeping. Nehemiah pulls them up and says, none of that, stop that, don't do that here. Sometimes you just need someone to say that to you. None of that, stop that, don't do that here. It's not going to help you. It's not going to do you any good. Nothing good's going to come out of that kind of posture and that kind of spirit. And so Nehemiah instructs them to celebrate with food. Hospitality, to be generous and lavish in that, and have some nice drinks and share with people that don't have any. Invite them to your table and enjoy that stuff. That's the kind of church we are. We want to be a church. I was at an event yesterday for our Connect Leaders training, and it was a beautiful time as we sat around a table and probably 20 people around a table. It was layered with food, and we just enjoyed connecting and fellowshipping and sharing some thoughts as Connect Leaders, but it centered in around building relationship and connection and festivities and food, and it's just such a beautiful way to do the journey. And so Nehemiah, he wasn't asking them if they felt like having fun. He didn't say, listen, if you're in the mood, why don't you come down and we'll have a party and celebrate and enjoy some food and some drinks. He wasn't asking if they were in the mood to celebrate. He was telling them, choose joy. Choose joy and celebrate life. And he did it because Nehemiah knew that it was the joy of the Lord that brings strength. The joy of the Lord that brings us strength. Can I ask every person in the room today to make the tough decision to sing anyway? To sing anyway. No matter what's going on, sing. No matter what's going on, find your voice and sing. Make the tough decision today to lift your hands anyway, even though they're heavy. The Bible instructs us to lift up heavy hands. So to find a way to break through, make a decision today, the tough decision, to amen the Word of God anyway. Even if it doesn't feel like fun, amen it. Put yourself in that posture of working towards that. Make the tough decision of worshiping anyway. Make the tough decision of praising anyway. Make the tough decision of smiling and joying up anyway, even if you don't feel like it. This is the verse we've used as a platform we've been focusing on for a few weeks now. I love this thought. A lot of people don't even realize this is in the Bible. Ecclesiastes 8:15, written by Solomon, the wisest man in all the world at the time, king of Israel. It says this, so I recommend having fun, because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat and drink and enjoy life. And that way, they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. I love the thought that there's nothing better in life to do than to have some fun whilst you're doing the work that God has given you to do. Whilst you're doing the hard work, while you're under the grind, while the struggle is real. To find time and space and intentional moments to have some fun. While you're working out the junk in your world and in your life, still have some fun. While serving others in the house of God, have fun. While coming to church and doing the church journey, have some fun enjoying the presence of God. Fun is important because fun is not a denial of hard work. And that's why some people react against this thought of fun, because they think, well, people that enjoy fun and focus on fun, they're frivolous. They just want all the light, fluffy stuff. They're not intentional. They don't work hard. There's no purpose. There's no intent. There's no vision for them. But it couldn't be further from the truth. Fun is not a denial of hard work. Fun is not an idealistic attitude that believes life is easy. It's an admission that life is hard, the struggle is real, but I have a determination to enjoy the journey that God has me on, and I'm going to enjoy what I do and how I do it. I'm going to put a smile on my face. I'm talking about this because I believe this statement, that fun and joy empower us in the struggle. You've got to have some help in the struggle of life and in the hard work that we have. And so fun is that thing and that it brings the joy of the Lord for us all. And fun is an attitude. It's an attitude. It's not even an experience. It's an attitude. It's not a choice between having fun and doing something else, like, will I go to church or will I have fun? No, I go to church and I have fun. It's not a choice of either or. It's a choice of both. Like, we don't have to make a choice between going to work and having fun. You can go to work and have fun. You can go to work and have fun. Work can be fun. Turn to your neighbor and say, make work fun. Make work fun. Just make it fun. Make it fun. You own that. You own it yourself. You bring the fun to work. We don't have to make a choice between going to church and having fun. And this is a real oxymoron for some people. They think going to church is no fun at all. They see God as a no fun sort of thing. It's a no fun zone, this whole church worship thing. But the reality is God wants you to have fun, and I think fun is good for us all as we do the journey. The psalmist David, he says this about it. He says, I was glad when they said to me, come on, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's Sunday, Sunday fun day. It's fun day on Sunday. So I'm glad when I get the opportunity to go to the house of the Lord. And Psalm 84:4, it says, how happy, how blessed is that word there, literally. How blessed, fortunate, and enviable are those who can live in your house, God, always singing your praises. You know, when you serve in church on a team, it doesn't have to be a matter of, well, do I come to church and serve or do I go and have fun? No, you have fun while you serve. You give it energy. I love some of our teams. Some of our teams have more fun than other teams, and that's simply because the people on that team have determined to have fun. That's why. And so no matter what team you're on, no matter what job you're doing, you can enjoy it and you can have fun doing what God has called you to do. Once again, David the psalmist says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Get your smile on. Come before him with singing and with joy. And he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise and give thanks to him and praise his name. So we can make things fun that other people don't necessarily see as fun if we have the right attitude. It's not a matter of either or. It's a matter of, I will have fun in whatever I do. Why? Because I am fun. Turn to your name and say, I am fun. I am fun. I am fun. I want to give you three handles today. Three handles, three points, three simple concepts. Nothing new. We've talked about some of them already. Just going to revise and go over these and keep saying the same things. There's three handles that will make you more fun and help you to have more fun in every area of life and every space of life if you apply them. And they come from a little song that we used to sing in church many, many years ago that I'm very privileged to sing to you today. Nobody else in the room knows the song except for Pop, probably, would remember this song. He used to lead this song. I think I remember Pop leading this song many, many years ago in church. And it's a song called I've Got the Joy in My Heart. Anyone remember that song? And it goes, I got the joy in my heart. I got the praise on my lips. I got the smile on my dial. This is how ridiculous songs were in my day. You know, you're so blessed today to have beautiful songs. The songs in our day were very simple, but they were quite funny and even quite bizarre, but they had great truth behind them, so much so that I mention them most Sundays and sing them because I love them and I love the meaning of what comes through in these song. So it's, I got the joy in my heart. I got the joy in my heart. I got the joy in my heart because of you. I got the joy in my heart. I got the joy in my heart. I got the joy in my heart because of you. I got the smile on my dial. I got the smile on my dial. I got the smile on my dial because of you. I got the smile on my dial. I got the smile on my dial. I got the smile on my dial because of you. I got the dance in my feet. I got the dance in my feet. I got the dance in my feet because of you. Come on, help me. Got the dance in my feet. I got the dance in my feet. Come on, why don't you stand? I got the dance in my feet because of you. I got the praise on my lips. I got the praise on my lips. I got the praise on my lips because of you. I got the praise on my lips. I got the praise on my lips. I got the praise on my lips because of you. I got the dance in my feet. Come on. I got the dance in my feet. I got the dance in my feet. Oh, it's good times, isn't it? Church was so much fun back then. So much fun. How many of you remember Joy's a flag flying high from the castle of my heart? And people used to get out their hankies, and whether they were used or not, and they would swing them. Ah, good times. Have a seat if you would. And I just think there's so much truth in celebrating, in really celebrating the fact of how we do this journey and how we get our faith on. There's three handles I want to give you. They're very simple. Get some generosity on your face, some levity in your heart, and some praise on your lips. If you can do these three things, generosity on your face, levity in your heart, and praise on your lips, it's going to help lift the level of your relationship with people everywhere, with people everywhere, in every sphere and in every facet of life. So let's talk about the first one, generosity on your face. Last week I said this about our faces. I said we're all responsible for our own face. We're all responsible for our own face. You know, your face is the first thing we see. It's the first thing we see. Before you speak, your face speaks. Before you say anything, you're already communicating to us. You're telling us something by what's on your face. Now, the issue for us all is this, is we all carry the tensions of life. We do. We all carry the weight of life, the burden of life, the struggle of life, the heaviness of situations. We all carry issues and problems and challenges and hardship. And it's how you carry that load. How you carry that load determines the level of joy that you experience in your life event, in your life journey. You don't want to get to the end of your life and be a misery and be miserable. No matter what happens, you don't want to get there and be that. You have control over yourself to determine to enjoy life and the journey and to have some fun and to bring some fun. It's our own responsibility. And with our faces, your face when you came to church today, nobody else was responsible for it but you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you. 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 We all need to be face aware. I sometimes think people aren't face aware. And we need to be face aware. We need to be aware of what our face is doing, what our face is saying, aware of the message that our face is sending even before we speak, because before I say anything, my face has already said 1,000 words. It's said to you whether I want to talk to you or not. It's said to you whether I like you or not. It says to you whether I'm interested in this conversation or not. And so you need to be very careful about the way your face talks. And if we're going to have more fun, it needs to start on our faces. It really does. If you want to make life more fun, then check your face. I'm hoping everybody, I'm just scanning the room to see who's here today, but I'm hoping everybody checked their face in the mirror before they came to church today. I'm hoping you did. Check your face. You know, on our face, sometimes people wear weariness on their face. They wear judgment on their face, criticism on their face, tension, worry, anger on their face, stress on their face. And when you consider all those things, none of those things look good on you. They might fit, but they don't look good. Have you ever gone to a shop, buy clothes, and some 18-year-old girl is serving you, and she says, oh, that looks great on you, just because it fits. And like, you look at her and you think, are you seeing the same thing in the mirror that I'm seeing? Because seriously, I don't care what you're saying. You need to go to Specsavers because that there does not look good. It might fit, but it doesn't look good. Like sometimes I bought clothes and then thought, what was I thinking? And I wasn't thinking, I listened to somebody else. I've got to be face aware myself of what it looks like. And so do we all. It's like for all the girls in the room today, predominantly I'm thinking a high percentage of the girls would have wore makeup today. Some might have come natural, but most wear makeup. And women wear makeup. Some men wear makeup. Moving right along. No admissions here, but sometimes... people, let's don't make it a gender thing. Sometimes people wear makeup. Now let's do that. Let's make it a gender thing because it works better. Women wear makeup to hide blemishes and to hide or cover. To cover, not hide. Cover's a better word. To cover blemishes or to cover spots or to cover redness or to accentuate their beauty. And we love it that the women wear makeup, don't we? Don't we? Nobody's coming with me today. You boys, I tell you. I tell you, are there any men in the room today? Come on. We love it when we make up because it accentuates the beauty and it covers blemishes and it's about presentation. And there's a lot of women, for a lot of women, they'd never walk out of their house and go anywhere without makeup because they're very face aware. And I think we all need to get in touch with our feminine side. And become a little face aware. Like Theo's face right now. He's leaning back in his chair going, become face aware. Become aware of what our faces are saying. You look better with your fun face on. You look better with your fun face on. You look better with joy on your face. You look better with generosity on your face. It's far more attractive. It's wow, wow. Nobody comes up and compliments you for that look of anguish and pain and heartache that you have on your face. Nobody comes up and says, I love the way you wear that frown. Yeah. That frown, you're working that. That just really, that works for you. Keep that up. Nobody, but everybody celebrates a beautiful smile and a generous face. And you're drawn to speak to the ones that smile. Like when I speak, I'm not looking at anyone that's looking harsh at me. I'm looking to that one person, I'm trying to find them, that's smiling. I'm looking to that one person that's happy to hear me. I'm looking for that one person whose face just lights up and pops. Is what I'm, that we're all drawn to that. We're drawn to that conversationally, to have people in our world that are face aware. Like you might have a great heart, but the world won't know it unless your face tells them. You might have a great heart, and I'm sure a lot of people do. I'm sure a lot of people are just not aware of their face. So sometimes you just need to hold a mirror up. Maybe you should all just have mirrors. Walk around. You know those little beauty makeup mirrors? Not that I have one, but those little ones. The older you get, the mirrors get bigger and they magnify. My mum has one. Magnets to get her whiskers out. Just pulls them out. Love you, Mum. Love you, Mum. Face aware. Be aware of your face. Nothing worse than having something on your face. Nothing worse than having something on your face and walking around talking to people and you're not aware of it. You ever done that? And someone who knows you a little bit, they're making all kinds of hand signals. Like, and you go, what? Carry your own mirror and be aware of your face. I think we need to be a church of generous faces, because generosity on your face is attractive. Oh, I didn't finish the word. It's attractive. Generosity on your face is attractive. I'm interested to note that in the Old Testament, there's a story of Moses when he was up on Mount Sinai, when he was having this meeting with God and writing the Ten Commandments down. That it says that when he came down with the tablets, the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware. He wasn't aware. Moses was not aware that being with Jesus had made something happen to his face. It says, being with Jesus, or with God, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. I think as you journey and you spend time with God, there's going to be a physiological change on the way you present yourself to people. You may not be aware of it, but it's a God thing. On Moses, it was the glory. And I'm just saying and suggesting today that I think we need to get a little bit more generous in the gestures that we give people with our face. Anyone else agree with that? Yeah. Number two, levity in your heart. Just keep it light. Keep it light. There's a real truth in keeping things light to be making life more productive and helpful. And if we want life to be more fun, then we need to lighten the load and have a light heart. Carry heavy things lightly. Carry it lightly in your heart. Levity, that word levity comes from the Latin word, which just simply means light. And we need to lighten up. Just lighten up. Either have a heavy heart or a light heart. Many people's hearts are simply heavy because of the gravity of life and the heaviness of life. We carry the burdens. We all do. Even the people that laugh and joke and smile all the time, they carry all those burdens. They have the same burdens. They have the same challenges and strife that happens in life. And the reality is, I think what they understand is nothing good comes from being weighed down all the time. Nothing good comes from being overwhelmed all the time or overburdened all the time and carrying the weight beyond the way that it should be carried. I think Jesus understood this when he warns us and he warned the disciples. He said, be careful. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down. And he gives three things that weigh them down. I want to focus on the last one. Your heart will be weighed down with caressing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. And so Jesus is saying, be careful, otherwise the anxieties of life, they'll weigh you down. They'll weigh your heart down. They'll give you a weightiness. I think Jesus understands the weightiness of life, the heaviness of life. And the reality is he came to give us life to the full, but I think he understands very much the gravity of burden that's on every one of us. He understands the daily battle with our emotions, that we're emotionally up and down and all around. I think he also understands the tensions and the struggles of life. And we all carry it, but the truth is if we carry it in an inappropriate way, then the reality is we're no fun to be around. And people avoid us. People avoid us. They avoid us because what's on our face and what's in our heart. There's a heaviness on our face, there's a heaviness in our heart, and we're no fun to be around. And so we need to lighten up. When we lighten up, the tension is eased. You know, tension requires energy to continue. Tension requires energy to continue. What levity does is it undermines the energy given to tension. Levity de-escalates tension and it helps unwind a wound up heart. It helps unwind a wound up heart. So keeping it light helps you carry the heavy load. Keeping it light in your heart helps you carry the heavy load. Keeping it light helps you enjoy the journey more than you may currently be enjoying the journey. So we all need to learn to dial down the tension with levity. Dial down the tension with levity. Dial down the tension by dialing up the levity, dialing up the lightness, dialing up the fun factor in all of our lives. And finally today, in terms of what we do as believers and in our faith journey, to always have the praise in our mouths. To always have praise in our mouth. You know, praise is simply the joyful noise. It's a joyful noise is what praise is. The psalmist tells us, Psalm 100, shout to the Lord with joy. We looked at it before. Shout to him with joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing. Come before him with joy. I think in 2020 we need more praise. I think we need more praise. I think we need more praise as individuals. I think we need more praise as a church. I think we need more praise in our connects. I think we need more praise in our young adults, in our youth, in our everything. I just think we need more praise. Sorry, I was just doing that then to help Josh because he's walking out of the room with someone praising in their own way. It's a joyful noise. We praise God and we can praise God, the Bible says, in and through and for all circumstances. You know what praise does? Praise helps you stay on point with the faithfulness of God. To stay on point with the faithfulness of God. It's one of the most dynamic things that we can be involved in and involve ourselves in is leaning in to learn to praise God in terms of releasing fun into our lives on a daily basis. Praise does more than we'll ever imagine. Praise is not limited to Sunday. It's not a Sunday thing. Praise can be 24/7. You can be cruising down the highway in your Mini with the sunroof open, just after you hit a kangaroo and still praise God. You can praise and sing an old song from 30, 40 years ago. I got the praise on my lips. I got the praise on my lips. And just enjoy a praise moment. When you get together in church, we talked about last week, don't wait for the band to bring the praise. They're not professional praisers. We are all praisers. And we need to learn to bring our own praise. So when the band strikes, bam, I'm there. I'm there. I'm ready to go and bring my praise and bring my worship. You know, you can praise and have praise on your mind all the time. You can praise and have it on your mind all the time. It's about having a thankful heart, a grateful heart. Praise is simply about making it all about God. The prophet Isaiah says, "For all who weep in Israel," or Logan, "He will give you beauty for ashes. A joyous blessing instead of mourning. Festive praise instead of despair." I love the fact God gives us beauty out of ashes. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. A garment of praise is how it used to read. A garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So how do you make it more fun? You get some praise on. You get some praise on. You get some festive praise on. You see it as a garment. Something that you actually put on, and you clothe yourself in praise, and you create an atmosphere and an environment and an ambience around you of praise. You cover yourself in praise. Praise magnifies God in your life and your circumstances. That's why David says, "Come on, come with me. Let us magnify the Lord together." That was his anticipation, his expectation when he was going to the house of God. Come on, let's go to the house of the Lord and let us magnify the Lord together. Let us exalt his name together. When we do that, something powerful is released, because when we praise, what we're doing is we're exalting God above everything else. We're not saying everything's fine. We're not saying everything's perfect. We're not saying everything is just the way I want it to be. What we're saying is, God, you are above and beyond all things. You are in all things and above all things, and you are for me, not against me, and you will turn all things for good. That's what you're declaring when you're praising God. What praise does is praise makes God bigger and the problem smaller. It makes God, what you focus on, what you magnify, what you blow up, is what will be bigger in your mind, bigger in your mouth, and bigger in your heart. So we need to blow God up. Not because God needs to be blown up. He doesn't need you blowing wind up his pipes at all. But what happens is it blows him up in our eyes. It makes us more God aware. Not only do I need to be face aware, I need to be God aware. I want to be like Moses on that mountain and have a face that glows and shows that I've been in the presence of God. And I want us to be that kind of church where God is bigger. Praise gives us the ability to magnify God and magnify his power in our lives. Can I have our team come to stage, please? It gives the ability to us to magnify God in every circumstance and above every circumstance. It magnifies his greatness, his person, his majesty, his faithfulness. It highlights God above everything else that's going on in my life. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just put some praise music on. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just get yourself in a space where you can go crazy with some praise. You can wind a window up on your car, travel down the freeway, crank it up loud. Nobody knows. You can sit in a car park, pump it up, get your praise on. You can get to a connect group, get your praise on. You can come to church, get your praise on. I hope you come clothed with your praise. I hope you just didn't put your makeup on today. I hope you put your praise on. Because when you put your praise on, it just feels really good. It feels good. There's a physiological response that happens in my body when my spirit is released to praise God in spite of. So can we be that church? Can we be a Nehemiah 8 church? Can we be a church where people stand? Let's stand. Can we be that church? Can we be a church where people engage and interact and amen and voice it and praise it and bring it and worship God? Can we be a church where Not only do the lights glow, but your faces glow. Your faces glow. There's a lot of show that goes on. I think God's looking for more glow and less show. Three handles to help you raise the level of who you are in your life, in your circumstances, and with other people. Get some generosity on your face, because you look better when you put that on. You look better. You're attractive. People are drawn to you. There's a glow about you. Some levity in your heart. You're fun to be around. You're fun to be around. People enjoy your company. And then some praise on your lips. Because when you get the praise on your lips, it magnifies the joy that's in your heart. And it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. So for everything that I've said over the last 3 weeks, I don't say any of it in denial of the challenges of life, the gravity of circumstance, the weariness of the struggle. The struggle is real. But my God, He turns it around. He turns it around. He turns it around. I want to invite Him to do that today in your circumstance and your situation. We're going to finish with a song today, the last song that we did. It's a beautiful anthem of God doing exactly that, that God would turn things around for every one of us. Why don't you invite Him to do that? Why don't you make a determination in your heart? You know what? I'm just going to have some very intentional fun. I'm going to enjoy my journey. I'm going to be more fun to be around, because at the moment I'm not much fun to be around. I push people away by my face. Not me, but you do when you know. I push people away by my face. What's in my heart and my conversation. So I'm going to determine in 2020 to be more fun. Why don't you make that determination? Lift up your hands and sing this great declaration together.